finally here. Today's the big day, the first official episode of A Story to Tell. I sat down this afternoon, evening, with a friend and coworker, Eric Brown. We discussed some supernatural things that he's experienced and kind of a little bit of his life. So I hope you will enjoy this episode. It's about, I don't know, a 25-minute talk. So thanks. Everyone, I'm here with Eric Brown. Eric?
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great.
It's been a long day today, hasn't it?
It's been a very long day.
Yes.
It's very hot in this room.
It is. It's very hot. Miserable.
Yes.
Hell-like, in fact. So, Eric, I want you to tell me a little bit about yourself.
All right.
As the first guest.
Oh, great.
You're the first guest of the show.
This is the inaugural.
Kind of. I did one myself, but it wasn't very good.
Probably not as important as this.
No, absolutely not. But I want to hear your story.
Great. So what I'm going to talk about is an experience that I had a few years ago that I would say would be a little supernatural, paranormal type thing.
Nice.
So my grandmother suffered a stroke a couple of years ago, a few years ago. And with that, she got what's called stroke-induced dementia. So
is she still living?
She's not.
Okay.
So what would happen would be something like she would say somebody has stolen the house. She would feel the house lifting up. Someone would have taken it, she thought. So when that happened, the family got together, and I wasn't working at the time, and we decided that I would be the person to kind of watch over her while this was happening, which was fine. I didn't mind doing that. I was never close with my grandparents, but I became close with them because of this. So I started taking care of her, and, you know, she would slowly decline in health. And eventually, you know, it got to the stage where, you know, hospice had to be involved. And this was the first person that I'd ever seen die.
Okay.
From natural causes.
How old were you when this was happening?
I would say I was 26, 27.
So that's pretty recent.
Fairly recent.
Like, what, 5 years ago?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
So what was interesting, actually, is when someone dies, natural causes, a lot of times this, I guess you would call it a phenomenon, occurs, which is called modeling.
It's called what?
Modeling.
Modeling.
So, okay. As I understand it from what the hospice worker had told us, it's a way to identify when someone is actively dying. What happens is, starting from your extremities, going towards your heart, these black branches, really, veins, spread from your, let's say, from your feet up your leg, eventually get into your heart. So your body's shutting down all non-essential functions until you get there. I just always remembered that they look like black branches. Mm-hmm. So that was the first person that I ever saw die.
Okay. Was that your first death, like, in your family?
That was the first death that I can remember having any involvement in or kind of anything in.
Gotcha.
So shortly after that, I would say maybe it's a year after my grandfather got sick. He had some type of pneumonia maybe, mm-hmm. and it just caught up with him. So sort of the same thing happened again.
The next year. Oh man, that's rough.
Yeah. So their house is in a rural area. They'd had that house all their life. They'd built on from it. I think maybe they had maybe 3 rooms to start. Ended up being maybe 7 rooms, something like that, that they just built onto it. Is in a wooded area. And all my life, my parents or aunts and uncles would tell me stories about the place. My mother told me one time that she woke up in the middle of the night and felt like something was pressing on her chest and she couldn't move. My aunts had told me about footsteps in the hallway, running, things like that. And while I was taking care of my grandpa, with the house being empty pretty much, you know, I would take him into the living room, feed him, everything like that, and then I would go and clean up certain areas of the house. And that's when I first started noticing things. I would say that I don't necessarily believe in ghosts, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to eventually end this with saying I see, saw, or ghost or something like that.
Because that would be crazy, right?
That would be crazy. but I think that there are certain energies maybe that are left over from some places. I remember in college, a few years before this happened, a friend of mine decided that she wanted to go to an abandoned hospital that was near the college.
And no thanks.
Yeah. So I accompanied her, and we went there and just looked around, and we saw an entrance to one of the buildings that hadn't been boarded up, and we walked in there. And I remember feeling like, you know, when someone's angry with someone else, and then you walk into the room, they've just had an argument, and you can kind of feel like
negative energy. Yeah.
That's what that place felt like.
Ooh, no fun.
So that's what I sort of started feeling in the house every so often.
Okay.
There would just be moments where there would be strange like feelings going on. I would hear certain things that I attributed to the furnace kicking on. They had like this Frankensteinian furnace underneath the house.
Old houses are creepy.
Yeah.
Like, it was so weird.
It was humongous. I remember the vent, it looked like a trap door.
Yeah.
And so I would hear certain things while he was sick. So one night, you know, we were doing this in shifts at one point. So I was putting him to bed, and he sort of like looked over into the hallway and said hello, and I looked and there was no one there. So this kind of continues, this sort of thing. One afternoon he got really, really sick, and while I was sort of tending to him and calling to make sure that we could get him to the hospital and everything like that, the cabinets in the kitchen, which I was not in that room, but a few of them were opened when I walked back in, and I had obviously not opened them.
Yeah.
So these are things that I was just noticing. Eventually he also died, and
did he die shortly after all of this? Okay.
Yeah. And
so they both died about a year apart.
Right.
Okay.
And again, with the modeling, I sort of watched that process.
Yeah.
Which was very strange, but, after that, you know, the house is empty. And more stories start coming out about the house. Evidently, my grandfather, like I said, was in a wooded area. One day was out and had seen something in the woods and walked past the trees. And there was a man. he had a campfire going.
God.
And my grandfather was like, you know, who are you? You know, why are you here? And the man just said, I'm just visiting. And the man stamped out his fire and left. Just strange things like that. Again, some of my relatives told me about seeing shadows outside that weren't there, people standing at the window, things like that. I believe that a murderer at some point had escaped from a prison and was found in those woods.
Oh, my God. Where is this? Can I ask where it is?
So it is in the Ironton area.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dang.
A little bit more of the rural part, though.
Like that way?
Yeah.
People can't. People don't know which way I'm pointing, but like
no
that
one knows
way.
Where this is.
What's the latitude and longitude?
Yeah. It's 52. So that's over. The house is empty. It's time for an estate sale.
Okay.
So
those are also creepy.
Those are also creepy.
Yeah.
So again, we did this in shifts, but during my day, I had gone to the house, and my job at that point was to empty out all the drawers of everything. So I had boxes, and then I would go to different rooms and empty out the drawers of all the dressers. So I go into the back bedroom. This is the very back of the house, just past the trapdoor furnace.
Yeah.
And I had my boxes, and I was listening to, I think, an audiobook or something on earbuds or headphones or whatever that I had at that time. And then I just got this very strange feeling, and I took them off, and nothing really went on. And so I just kind of decided to keep the headphones off and putting things in drawers. And I hear what I believe to be the door to the back yard open and close. Mm. So I think, oh, it's one of my relatives, they're coming to help me or something like that. So I walk back there, no one's back there. I just forget about that, go back to the bedroom. When I go back to the bedroom, which is so funny, I have this crazy sensation that the house is being lifted up. Like the floor is being lifted up.
Wow, okay.
So, and I thought, oh my God, that's just like my grandma saying she thought the house was being stolen. And I thought that was really weird. I felt a little dizzy. And that's when I heard the door slam open. And I mean, it sounded like someone with heavy boots on running down this long hallway, hitting the grate of the air conditioner, or the air vent. And I just went into full panic mode because I thought somebody's robbing the house. They know that my grandparents have died. They're robbing the house or something like that. So I look in the hallway, nothing's there. And I just like bolt out the door. And when I get to the door, it's just like a scary movie. Like I couldn't get the key to lock it back. I was in my car.
Did you run up the stairs?
I like got in my car and like couldn't get the key in the ignition, that kind of thing. So that was kind of like my only experience with that kind of thing, but unexplainable, I guess.
Yeah.
Just an interesting thing.
That's really creepy.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really weird. So how long, like, have you pretty much grown up in this area your whole life?
Yeah.
Okay. You went away to college.
Correct.
What's your major?
So my undergrad was in communications.
Okay.
And then my master's is also in organizational communications, which is like a...
What is organizational communication?
So,
I'm very curious what that means.
Basically, how to talk to someone, I guess.
But in an organized
fashion. In an organized fashion. Things like public relations, okay. Marketing.
That's cool.
You know, communications from a business perspective a lot of the times. So.
Okay. And you work in higher education, right?
I did.
You did?
Do.
Oh, you do?
Did do.
Did do. How do you like that?
I love it, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's something that I never really realized I wanted to do until.
Yeah. What's your favorite later. Part about working in higher ed?
I've always just loved the college experience. You know, I love the idea of, you know, having like, even though I wasn't in one for very long, having like a dorm room, having this like new life that's just like exploded in front of you when like a summer before you go to college for the first time, you're asking permission to go to the bathroom. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And now this, your entire life,
it's a whole new world.
It's a whole new world.
Yeah.
And I just love that, the possibility of that.
That's cool. So you're also back in school, right? You're an English major now.
Correct.
Okay. And you write.
Yes.
You're a poet.
No.
No, I know. I'm just messing with you. You told me that the other day. You're like, everyone thinks I write poetry.
Yeah.
What do you write?
So I'm pretty much fiction.
Okay.
Straight up. I decided to get this, I guess, second bachelor, second degree, because I believe that's probably what I was meant to do. Okay. And I hadn't seen that until later in life, which has, I think it's ups and downs.
Okay.
You know, sometimes I think, oh, I wish I had realized this earlier. I've always been a pretty, like, avid reader.
Yeah.
I can remember, like, being very small in church and having, like, Buffy the Vampire Slayer novel, like, open while that was going on. and all the Goosebumps and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I did kind of put that aside for a while because I had thought in my brain that when you go to college, you have to major in something that is going to automatically get you into some sort of lucrative career. So
<That's> funny.
Yeah. So I started at Morehead State University, actually.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And I was going to do, I believe it was radiology. It's been a long time.
Dang.
Yeah, it was
radiology. Is that during the watch days?
Well, that was before the watch days.
So some backstory.
Yes.
Eric and I, we work together now.
Yes.
We also kind of work together at the mall.
Full circle.
Like in 2006.
Right.
2007. I don't know what year it was.
Okay. Well, if it was 2006, then I would have been in high school. It might have been a little bit after the watch
I graduated time. 06.
Okay, then it was a little bit after the
watch Yeah, time. It's probably 07, 08.
Right.
But, like, you worked at the watch kiosk. Right. I worked at the cell phone kiosk, and all we did was watch The Office.
Yeah, which was the greatest thing in the world.
It was a pretty good job. Good two jobs.
Coincidentally, we know someone else who was much younger.
Young Connor. I mentioned Connor in the episode about May last week, or a couple of days ago.
Right.
Connor remembers being a young pup watching the Star Wars movies from the play area, which I thought was neat. Because that was us. We did that.
Right.
We helped raise Connor.
Exactly.
Yeah, we did it.
It was crazy.
So you went to Morehead State. I did not know that. Was that after Dakota Watch or was that before?
So I guess that had to be before. Or I guess it would have to be after, actually.
Okay.
Because if it was 2006, yeah, it would have to be a little bit after.
Okay.
So I went there for a total of 3 days.
Oh, wow. You committed.
I did. Full-on committed. I wanted it.
You were an eagle.
No, for 3 days. Remember vividly. Immediately thinking, oh, I made a very big mistake.
Well, like, what was wrong with it?
Well, it's just a new area. You know, I had never been away from home before. Okay. And this is a trait of Appalachian people in general that they, you know, we stay very close to home. We have close ties to family, friends. And it's difficult to sort of part ways with that. And I know that now, but before I just thought I was, trapped somewhere.
Yeah.
Actually, one of my phobias probably would be being trapped somewhere. So I just remember thinking, oh, God, I made a big mistake. I think what sealed it for me, strangely, was they didn't have very good Walmart.
That's everything.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, God, this is a horrible Walmart. It was very difficult to find.
Yeah.
You know,
was it a 24-hour Walmart?
I don't think so. It was in those days, no.
I'm going to tell you a funny story real quick. We were at a concert in Charlottesville, Virginia, which is home of University of Virginia before the Nazis protested it.
Sure.
We were at a concert and we took dogs with us and they peed and pooped all over the hotel room. Okay, they were never like that. They were very well-trained dogs. They freaked out, right?
Right.
We go to the front desk. We're like, hey, we need new everything pretty much. And they said, oh, we actually overbooked. We don't have anything extra. Great. So I'm like, I'll just go to Walmart. Went to Walmart. It was closed. It was miserable. It was like a cold April night and right. Nothing. No blankets, no sheets. It was awful. It was disgusting.
God.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Disgusting. Disgusting.
And I'm not in any way saying that Morehead State College is not a lovely school. I think it is.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure
and
it's
I think they have great academics. It just, at that time, it wasn't right for me to branch out like that.
Yeah.
Could I have stuck it out? Probably. Would I have made it through that major? Probably not, because as
radiology,
radiology.
Right. Okay.
As it turns out, I am just not, you know, good at most things. but then I eventually did come back home to a new school.
Good.
And kind of finished out there.
Okay.
And then I did move away again to actually go to an out of town school, you would call it. Out of state school. Yeah. And kind of, I mean, I was fine after that. It was just sometimes you're just a little too young to know exactly.
Did you get your undergrad and graduate degree from the same place?
Yeah, I did.
I thought you did. Mm-hmm. I can't remember though. Right. So now you're doing English and you want to write. So your goal is that to make writing a profession?
I mean, I would say my goal would be to be involved in some sort of
magazines, newspaper,
that, or just in teaching in general.
Oh, okay.
And just, you know, spreading that, you know, I mean, you basically would have sort of your own little book club.
Yeah.
Full of people. And I think that would be the ultimate goal for me to teach.
Like high school, college?
It could be high school, college. I mean, anything like that. I think that's something I realize now is that should have been something I was focused on.
Yeah.
And again, I didn't have the knowledge that even really that was fully out there. Yeah. So that would be what I would think is the ultimate thing.
Okay.
And I, you know, I feel like I'm working towards that in a good way. Way, 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 way back, I found anthology or a short story collection by Stephen King called Night Shift. And that made me, you know, it's called A Constant Reader. You know, very big fan of Stephen King, and that's something I'm doing now, is doing, I'm going to be going to the popular, I think it's called, oh God.
What is it? I
forgot what it's called.
Is it like a conference or something?
Yes, it's a conference.
You forgot the name
I
of
totally
it?
I totally blanked on the name.
It's in January,
it's a very,
right?
Very prominent conference. It's in April.
I remember you talking
Popular
about
Culture Association. I don't know why I wanted to say popular literature. It stuck in my head. I apologize. It was Popular Culture
they're
Association.
They're going to revoke your credentials for this.
Right. They're going to be like, no. I did this previously last year talking about Stephen King's Misery, the novel of, you know, this crazed fan who takes this author hostage and basically tortures him into writing a book just for her. And then this time around, I'm doing a short story. I'm doing a talk on a short story he wrote called Jerusalem's Lot, which is sort of a spiritual prequel to his book Salem's Lot.
Okay.
It's very Lovecraftian. It takes place in the 1800s. It's actually my most favorite story in general.
Nice.
So I'm very happy to be able to have been accepted to do that. So,
is he going
to
be there?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so.
What if he is?
Well, then I'll pass out.
Okay. Well, if you get to meet him, you'll be in the ambulance.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you watch the Castle Rock show?
You know what? I haven't.
Okay. I know the new season, I think, is Misery.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. We started season one. It was okay.
And it's not because I don't want to, but just as a personal thing, I like to wait till a show is ended.
Completely.
So I can just binge it.
Okay.
Because I can't handle not knowing.
Okay.
What happens next?
I think it's pretty good rating, so I'd say it'll be on for a few more years.
Yeah.
Have you, I know you do write. I think I've read a poem. That's why I think I thought you wrote poetry.
Sure.
Have you written a book or anything?
No, not at all.
What's the longest piece you've written?
I mean, I've written several short stories.
What kind of pages?
100? No.
200?
Something around like maybe 15, 23, something
That's not
like
bad.
That. That's not bad.
Amateur, but not bad.
Yeah. I really haven't sent anything out.
Okay.
I sent a few things out, I think. I don't know that I'm 100% ready to put things out yet.
Okay.
That's just my own thing of some sort of fear of rejection, which I need to get over. But, I mean, it's not something that's not ever going to happen. I'm just not doing it right now.
Is it important to you to be like published by a publisher, or would you ever go like the self-publishing route? I know some people do that.
Yeah, I would 100% if I had something substantial or something that I thought would go out there, then absolutely I'd be fine with self-publishing.
That's cool.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that for anyone who wanted to do that or is thinking about doing that. You know, self-publishing is a very legitimate route nowadays, especially with, you know, the online resources that you have. Some bookstores, I know some major chain bookstores have their own publishing outlets now.
You think publishers are worried that people can just say, hey, you're not going to publish it? No big deal, because the internet will.
Right. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I think there'll always be those publishers that are so well known that, you know, people trust that that's where they can get good stories from. So I don't think that's the problem.
No.
I had heard recently, I don't know if this is true, that a lot of bookstores are going to go to print on demand. So they'll have a machine in the back, actually. And you say, ooh, I want this book. And they'll go and like actually make it in the back.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah. I had heard from a conference, actually, someone was talking about that might be the way that things go in the future.
So like, bam, it's a giant mega store. It could be like the size of like a GameStop.
Exactly. I mean, it could be a small place and they just have a printing press in the back.
How long would it take to print one of those books?
Well, I don't know.
I think that'd be kind of expensive to just print on demand.
You think it would, but in the long run, you know, you buy however many books.
You buy
and
a million
you don't
books
sell
and sell
them.
10 of them.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes sense. I think that's how a lot of self-publishing things go. Right. They print it when.
Right. A lot of them do that.
I bought a DVD box set on Amazon one time, and it even said, like, this is, like, copied or made, like, when you order it.
Right.
And I was like, that's. Why don't you just have that in stock?
Right.
You're Amazon.
Yeah.
You have infinite space.
Right.
You have the cloud.
Right.
Is there anything else you would like to share with us today, Eric?
You know, I don't think so.
Well, you have been a wonderful first guest.
Thank you.
I hope you'll be back.
I hope so, too.
With another story. And that wraps up.
Great.
Episode one with Eric Brown. Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. So there it is, episode one with Eric Brown. We talked a little bit after the show, and I believe he is going to make another appearance at a later date. As always, please like, subscribe, share, tweet, review, and listen. If you give us a 5-star review on iTunes, it helps kind of boost our exposure. And of course, just follow us and like us on social media. Our website is storytotellpod.com. And if you'd like to share your story with me, you can message me on social media or email me at show@storytotellpod.com. Thanks for listening.